Hi, and welcome to the White Hill podcast series. My name is Roger. I'm one of the pastors here at White Hill, and we're glad that you've chosen to listen to one of the podcast messages today. Our prayer is that you would be challenged and inspired to take the next steps in your journey with God as you listen to this message. If you want to keep in touch with more things that are happening at White Hill, head to our website at whitehill.church and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Enjoy this message now. You know, we have this running joke in my family as to which child is the favourite. We had a sock fundraiser the other day, and you know what I got for Father's Day? Socks. Now, when you're a dad and you have multiple children, which socks do you actually choose to wear? You know what? There is a question of who is the favourite in the house. And I must admit that Aiden loves to be considered the favourite. I'm going to embarrass him here. And these were the socks that he gave me. But my daughter, who's actually out there at the present, also gave me socks. And so I've balanced it up and I've found a solution to the problem. I have two older kids that are actually currently in lockdown in New South Wales in Sydney, which makes it very hard to do all of these special events. So for everyone here that has family that are interstate or out of the country, my heart is with you, as I'm sure yours is with me, as we go through some of these struggles with all of the COVID. As a child, there were lots of fun things we did as families. I'm sure there are lots of fun things that you guys do as families, lots of memories that sit and stick in your mind. One of mine was going to Luna Park, and particularly the Luna Park Funhouse. Now, the entry to the funhouse is one of those really weird corridors. It's a long corridor that goes up and down, and they've done their best to make people dizzy, to throw off all sense of balance, because whatever carpenter built those places, they never used a straight edge or a square. And so the floor sort of rolls along, and you walk along and you can't tell it's rolling necessarily, but then as you start walking, you think, there's something wrong here. And then the floor goes to the side, and then the walls start to come in, a bit like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, into a small door. And there's all of these optical illusions that they put you through to try and really mess with your mind. And then you walk through a tunnel, and the tunnel isn't just a tunnel that is static, but it's a rolling tunnel that you've got to try and walk through. And it's lots of fun to go through. And then you come out and you see the mirrors to have a look at yourself. I've never looked so good, but there are mirrors that make you look short. There are mirrors that make you look tall. There are some that are great selling points for Weight Watchers. So all sorts of different things that really mess with our perception. Now, as we come to Father's Day, I know that there are lots of things in our world and surrounding us that also mess with our perception of what fatherhood is and, just what God is actually calling us to. So as we kick off today, as much as I tried to get other people to preach, no one wanted to come and preach on Father's Day. I don't know why, but as we look at it this morning, I want us to have our perception and our understanding of what fatherhood is and of what we should aspire to, molded and shaped by God rather than the world. And today is Father's Day, and so we're going to focus on fatherhood. Now, I'm very aware, as Brad made comment, that some of us here today might battle with fatherlessness in our lives. Perhaps there was a massive loss in our own life, whether that be through death or through separation of some kind, where we never had a father in our life. In fact, fatherhood in our community, not just in our churches, is becoming more and more rare. Studies have shown that this lack of fatherlessness is actually impacting on the education and social behaviours, on healthcare, and on the emotional development and a host of other things in the lives of our children. But one study said that close to a third of all children were going to bed tonight without a father present in their lives. And that really is quite a sobering statistic. And so some here may also have father wounds. And we want this to be a safe place to be able to talk about fatherhood. We don't want you to feel uncomfortable, but we are aware that for some, the presence of a father probably has done more damage than the absence of a father. But we want to pour into that space this morning and particularly communicate hope. Now, along with fatherlessness and the father wounds that can be there, there are the rest of the fathers that are actually here and present this morning or watching online. And for those of us that are fathers, I very much am aware of the struggle that we can face week by week, year by year, where we feel that whilst there is a struggle to be present that we battle with, there is also the struggle not just to be a good father, but often there are immense expectations of what it is to be a perfect father. Men at heart, I will take it, the basic understanding, will seek to love their families, but wrestle with the question of how can I be a better dad? We want to be loving and nurturing fathers as God intends, but often I know that we can feel insecure in that role. Perhaps unsure, perhaps in our own lives we didn't have that model to follow. But I take it that for every father here or watching online, none of us set out in the fatherhood journey of wanting to be the dropkick of the year, do we? We all want to get that Father's Day card that says, "I love you, Dad." We all want to get that mug that says, "World's Best Dad" on it, don't we? We all want that. That is our goal, and that's what we're here to try and do. So this morning, we're not going to try and make anyone feel guilty. And today, I want you to know, as we look at God's Word, that there is hope available. Hope if we have scars in our lives from wounds of absent or abusive fathers. There is hope for fathers who feel hollow often in inadequacy and in our inability. There is hope for those longing for the love of a heavenly Father, but perhaps afraid to trust Him. There is hope for those of us because we can have that presence of God in our lives to guide and direct. So I'm going to pray just as we kick in, and I want to invite you into this space as we look at God's Word together. So let's do that now together. Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge this morning the difficult space that it can be in our lives. Perhaps we have had abusive fathers. Perhaps we have had absent fathers. Perhaps we're struggling this morning just with this whole notion of fatherhood and what that means and what the expectations are. And so, Father, we ask that you would speak to us in this space. For those that are hurting, Father, we pray that each one would know your comfort and your peace in that space. For those of us that are seeking to grow and learn, Father, may there be encouragement here, that we would be spurred on in our fatherhood journey. And we just want to commit ourselves and this time into your hands, Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we open God's Word this morning, it is interesting as you go to God's Word, because God's Word is actually very encouraging, I believe, to dads. Because you would have to stuff up so badly to get anywhere near to most of the fathers that we read about in the Bible. Let me go through a couple of them for you, just as a starting point to have a look at. So when we look through fathers of the Old Testament, God is actually quite open and honest with us about fatherhood and about their fatherhood. For example, we find Abraham. He was the model of faith, wasn't he? And yet he disowns his wife. He allows her to become engaged to another. And then he sends one of his children away because he was born through adultery. And then, after abandoning one child, he then takes his child that he's left, his own child, and he places him on the altar. Now, I can't imagine how much that would mess with a child's upbringing and their understanding. So I call that fatherhood fail. Then we find David, King David. David, the man after God's own heart. And yes, you look at him and he's... One of the striking things about David's life is not only that he sought God, but also his significant moral failings of adultery and of executing a murder. His son Absalom was such a nightmare to him, and David struggles to actually discipline him and to raise him up in the right way that he should live. Causes him all sorts of grief in his life. Another fatherhood fail. Then we go to Jacob. Israel. Jacob. Two wives, two mistresses, a dozen children. Shows favoritism to Joseph. That means all of his kids throw him into a pit, sell him into slavery, close to executing the boy. And then, well, we know what happens in the rest of the story. But again, fatherhood, family life fail. Let's go to Noah. There's a man of faith, isn't he? Man of faith, works for lots of years to build the ark, had a wife, had three sons. Those sons grew up. They had wives, but had a problem with alcohol. And nudity by the looks of things. And let's not make any jokes about leaving the mother-in-laws behind. Anyway, it shouldn't surprise us when we read all of those things, because there really is no perfect father in the scriptures outside of God himself, who exists in his perfection. All of us, men, women, fathers, not fathers, are imperfect. We sin. We do the wrong thing. We stuff up. We fail in different ways at different times. Why? Because we are all flawed. We all have our flaws. But in order for us to actually rise above those things, I believe we need to keep our eyes on God. Because God is indeed our perfect Father, our heavenly Father. Now, there is one verse that I want to look with you at this morning. And we'll put it on the screen. It's Matthew 3 and verse 17. And the Father speaks these words to Jesus, his son, at his baptism. And in these words, he says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And here, just in this simple verse, I want to pull out three points that give us positive encouragement as fathers. The first of these is the first phrase of this verse. This is my son. In those simple four words, Jesus is given identity by his father. The father says, this is my son. There is a sense of relationship that exists there, a sense of identity that exists there. And that's the first truth that I want to pull out from this passage. When the Father utters these words, he is communicating to all that Jesus is his son, that there is connection. Now, when it comes to identity, that's not necessarily a given. There are many around the world who not only have an absent father, but even on birth certificates nowadays, have no mention of father. There is no father listed on their birth certificate. And they often go through life with this aching and this emptiness of wondering where they came from. And what is their identity? One young man, whose name was Tikol, went through some very difficult times that, from his own admission, stem from never having been acknowledged by his dad. Now in his 30s, he reflected on his time in his youth. And he writes these words. He shares, "My mother had always told me that my father was a policeman. One day, a policeman was visiting our house. I was 5 at the time, so I enthusiastically asked the man in the blue uniform with the shiny badge, 'Are you my daddy?' And he responded by telling me, 'No, I'm not your daddy.' And when the door closed behind him, my mother said to me that he was my dad. Those brief moments were tragic for two reasons. One, it was the first time I saw my father, and it was the last time I ever saw him. The second sadder truth was that he wanted my mum to abort me. However, praise God, my mum chose differently. She decided to let me live and devoted my life to the Lord to be used for his purposes." You know, there are many challenges within families that can affect a person's growth and upbringing. But identity and understanding who you are in this world is one of the most basic concepts that we all seek to know and to understand. I've often read of many children that are adopted that still want to know, beyond just their adoptive parents, who their biological parents are. Children who struggle with perhaps the concept or thought that maybe they were given up, that they weren't loved in order to be kept. There are many challenges here that also keep fathers from being present in a child's life, whether that be work commitments of one kind, whether that be a decline in a relationship that can lead to a separation, whether that can just be outright sin and selfishness. But as dads, we do take on this challenge of fatherhood. And part of it is to acknowledge the children that are ours, to give them that sense of basic identity. There is a ceremony in Jewish tradition called the Act of Redemption. It would speak very powerful to the need that Tikol had, but also to others. And in this ceremony, it goes as follows. On the 31st day of a child's life, a child is brought to the rabbi in the presence of family and of guests. And when the father approaches the altar with the child, he is asked if he desires to leave the child or to redeem the child. If the father chooses to redeem the child, he hands a special silver coin to the rabbi, and the rabbi pronounces three times in the presence of all those guests there, "Your son or your child is redeemed. Your son is redeemed. Your son is redeemed." And afterward, the child is then returned to the father. But the implications of the ritual are quite significant. For one, the father has publicly acknowledged and accepted the full responsibility to raise this child as his son, before God and before all the people. But secondly, the son also grows up knowing that his dad had a choice, that his dad could choose to leave him or to redeem him. And that the father has made that choice, that he wanted him, and so he chose him, which provides a great spiritual, emotional, psychological implication for the child as he continues to grow up, knowing that they were wanted, that they have been accepted, and that they have been brought into the family. Just as God the Father acknowledges the Son, earthly fathers, as earthly fathers, we must do the same with our children. For many, it is the father's name that is on the birth certificate. For some, as I mentioned, it is not there. But God the Father acknowledged his son. And so as dads, we also have the responsibility and yet the privilege of acknowledging our children too. To say to them, this is my son. I know when I had my first child, and I remember being in the hospital as clear as it was yesterday, and I can remember holding Ashley in my arms, and the realization hit me that this child was my responsibility. She was mine. I couldn't hand her over to my mum and say, I wasn't expecting that I would get a child out of this here. But here I was holding this newborn child, this daughter, and realized that she was mine. And then, of course, all the fear hit me of how am I going to raise a daughter? What does it mean to raise it? What does it mean to change a nappy? Oh, my goodness. There was so much in our culture today where fatherlessness is becoming more and more common. Those of us that are fathers must take on the responsibility of raising our children, of setting that example before them and acknowledging them. The second point that God the Father says is that he loves his son. He says he loves his son. What does he say? He says, this is my son whom I love. Now, the father didn't have to say that, but he chooses to say that. Let me tell you a story that may hammer it home a little bit more. Not long ago, I heard the gut-wrenching story of the funeral of a young man. This young man had died through tragic circumstances, and in the chapel where he was being buried, there were people just wall to wall. The young man, as the story was told, got mixed up with the wrong crowd. And because he got mixed up with the wrong crowd, he fell into the trap of a lifestyle that eventually led to his death. Now, after the eulogy, there was an opportunity for people to come forward to an open casket to be able to say their goodbyes, to lay a flower. And as the music played, different people came forward and laid the flower. Now, there was a tall, well-dressed man also there at the funeral. And he came forward and he stood at the casket. Looking over the casket, you could recognize that there were tears flowing down his face as he just stood there for what seemed like a long time in comparison to everybody else. And then he did something that was a little weird. He took off his necktie and he put it around the body in the casket. And then he went back to his seat. Now, moments passed, and then he proceeded to come back up to the casket again. And this time he took off his watch and he put it around the dead man's wrist. And then he also took off his neck chain and he put it around the dead man's neck. Now, puzzling as to why the man was grieving like this, after the service, a woman explained that the man was the boy's father. A father who had been out of the picture for most of his life. And you begin to understand that the father at this point is not just dealing with his grief, but he's dealing with his guilt of being absent. He's dealing with the way that he didn't teach his son as a child how to put on a tie and to tie that around his neck. How he didn't put a Mickey Mouse watch on his wrist and teach him how to tell the time. Where he didn't give him a neck chain for his 18th or his 21st to celebrate that event. But the tragic part of this story is that he is here at the funeral trying to make amends. And sad to say, it was too late. It was too late. The time had passed, the opportunities had gone. And the questions remain. What kept the man from being present for any opportunity to help him to tie a necktie? What kept him from being present while the child was in school and giving him a watch and helping him to tell the time? What kept this man from loving his son? Now, the father's words of love to Jesus were not just mere words. They were not just communicating sentiment. It was a verbal way of expressing the father's relationship with his child. In the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, he's teaching us to pray saying, "Our Father who is in heaven," that is, a Father who is attentive, who listens to our prayers. He's saying, "His kingdom come, His will be done," because He knows His Father desires the best for His children. He says, "Give us today our daily bread," because He knows the Father provides for His children's daily needs. He says, "Forgive us our debts, our sins." Why? Because He knows of the Father's forgiveness for us. And then He says, "Deliver us from evil," because He knows that the Father will seek to protect His children from evil. As fathers, we seek to do that, don't we? We seek to provide for our children food, clothing, shelter. And our children have other needs as well. And as much as possible, often we seek to live in proximity to them. Obviously, when they're in our house, that's easy to do. When they're grown up, it's a bit harder to do. But we always have that heart of seeking to meet their needs, of protecting them, of sheltering them. And that is the expression or the outworking of love and care, because we are willing to sacrifice from ourselves for them and for their needs. The third point I just wanted to bring up was a point of affirmation. God, the Father, affirms the Son. He says, not only, "This is my Son whom I love," but He says to him, "With Him I am well pleased." With Him I am well pleased. And I wonder when the last time was we actually uttered words of affirmation to our children. And we tell them, "Well done," or "Awesome. You know, you tied a bow on your shoe. That's awesome. Great job. You did that test and you passed. Well done. You got a C. Well, you know, that's great. Got an A. Well, that's great too. You did your best. Great. I love the fact of when this phrase was uttered to Jesus. And perhaps this might be one of the most interesting things to us. Because here God tells the world that Jesus is his son whom he loves and that he is well pleased with. Now think for a moment, at this point in time, at his baptism, Jesus has not preached a sermon. He has not healed the sick. He has not raised the dead. He has not cast out any demons. He has not called any disciples. He hasn't even died on the cross yet or risen from the grave. He hasn't done any of those things. And the Father affirms him not necessarily for what he has done or for the future works he will do. He affirms him solely because of who he is as his beloved son. Now, as a young man, I can remember with great eagerness waiting for my father to come home from business trips where he traveled around the world. Often out of his luggage would come all of these special little round things, soaps, that were wrapped up. And we thought they were amazing. And sometimes we even had little shampoos that came out. And they were just such a novelty to us as kids that he had gathered up and stored and brought out of his... But then he also did bring some actual practical gifts that he'd bought. So I remember one time he brought me home this helicopter. Unfortunately, he couldn't bring home the nitro fuel that was needed to run it. But it was a great helicopter was one of the gifts that I still remember to this day that I was given. It wasn't a reward for anything that I had done. It was merely something as a notion or a part of his relationship to us. But then came a time where my father was absent, for which we've already gone into and I've already shared. And at that time, a time of fatherlessness in my life, God was very gracious to me, to my siblings. I'm one of five children, and my mum then ended up being a single mum seeking to raise these teenage boys and daughters by herself. But in our church family that we were a part of, one of the most precious things that I look back on was that we're I had an absence of a father in my life. I had the presence of many other fathers in my life, or people that served and loved me as a father should, that would pick me up from my home and bring me to youth group week after week after, and then they would take me home after youth group. There was an older gentleman in the church who sadly had lost his wife to cancer. And in his retirement, he sought to invest his life in the young adults and the youth of the church. And he would often pick us up and we'd go out to dinner with him, and usually there'd be a few of us, and he would pay for this meal that we would never be able to afford. It was like our introduction to fine dining. And he was like a grandfather to us. He would call us up. The joke was always to try and keep him on the phone for more than 2 minutes. But he was present. And he would just call us up to encourage us, to ask, how are you going? And he would keep track of what we're at. And he just happened to lead the young adults Bible study group as well. And so he would sow spiritually into our lives, but he would also sow relationally into our lives and so love into our lives. There was nothing, you know, untoward about the relationship. It was just one of encouragement. It was he that encouraged me to get baptized. And it was he that took me on a road trip to Sydney so I could go to Bible college and get to see a college that I could go to and to follow this desire into full-time ministry. There is great opportunity there in the church today, which we often talk about as being a family. It is the family of God. We talk about us as being brothers or sisters. And in this family, where there may be a spouse missing, there is opportunity for us to show care to the youth of our church, to be able to sow into their lives, to remember their birthdays, and to say happy birthday, or even to send them a card or buy them a present to encourage them. They don't just have to be our biological grandchildren in order for us to pray for them and to bless them, to encourage them on their faith journey. If we allow the Father's heart to become our heart, then we too can become a big brother or a surrogate dad or a surrogate grandfather to others in the church, to follow the example that we have, to let them know how valuable they are and how much we care for them and love them as well. We don't need to try and be a pro. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to try so that our prayers can make a difference. Now, we're going to celebrate communion in a few moments' time, and we're going to finish our service with communion, because communion is a great reminder to us of the love that God showed to us. One of the most well-known verses of the Bible is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," is how it starts, "that he gave his only begotten Son." In communion, we remember the love of a father, not just to his son, but to all of us that are a part of what this verse calls the world. God sent his son into this world as an example of love towards us, so that we would know. And I'll just ask the helpers, they can just start distributing. So today, if you want to be a better father to your children, I want to encourage you to follow the example of our Heavenly Father, the one who sought and was and is present for his children, the one who lets his children know that we are his, that we are loved by him, that in us, as we live for him, as we serve him, that he is well pleased with. Words that we all long to hear. And I want to encourage you today to let your children know that they are yours, to let them know that you wouldn't trade them for all of the world, to understand, yes, you're not perfect, but who is? Not to beat ourselves up about our shortcomings, but just to rely on our Heavenly Father to give us the grace to be the fathers that he wants us to be to our kids, or indeed to our wider family here in the church. One of the great things about meeting together as a church is that we do have those opportunities to see and to meet all of the children that are around us, to be able to encourage them and to know that they are not alone. As the elements get distributed, and hopefully at home you have your elements, there are two elements that we take to remember the sacrifice that Christ has given to each one of us. And as we take these elements this morning, I want you to reflect on the fact that God loves you so much. And that's why he sent his only son. And that's what we celebrate. So we take the bread, the visible reminder that Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we could be restored in relationship. Please take the bread and reflect on God's love for you. And just hold the cup. We'll drink in a few moments together. Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, for the sins of the whole world, so that we could be restored in relationship to our Heavenly Father. If you are watching at home, if you are here this morning and you've never started that relationship with your Heavenly Father, we want to encourage you to do that this morning. So we take the cup. We remember that the cup is a symbol of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. It is the blood that is the seal of this promise of the new covenant, promise that the Father says to us, for all who believe in Jesus, we will be forgiven and we will be saved and accepted into the family of God. Please take and drink this morning if you believe and you've accepted. The helpers are just going to collect the cups up. If you've never accepted the love of Jesus into your life, we want to give you opportunity to do that this morning, whether online or here in person. And we can do it very simply, and we do it simply by praying and acknowledging who God is to us. We acknowledge that, firstly, we are sinful people, that we do the wrong thing, that we are imperfect. Secondly, we say that we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us as God's ultimate act of love. And lastly, we commit our lives to being a part of God's family, entrusting all that the Father has prepared for us. I'm going to pray now, and I want to encourage everyone to please bow your heads and let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we all acknowledge that we are all sinful. There isn't a single person who is righteous, who has complete perfection in their life outside of Christ. And so we acknowledge that we need to be forgiven. We say thank you this morning for sending Jesus into the world as the ultimate act of love for us, that he would die on a cross and pay the ultimate penalty for our sins. Father, we believe Jesus died for our personal sins. And lastly, Father, we know that for each person who believes, you have given us the promise that if we believe, we will indeed be forgiven and accepted into your family, an eternal family, where you are our Heavenly Father. So, Father, no matter where we are, no matter who we are and what we're facing, Father, we know that this promise is available to us all. And so this morning we say we accept the gift of love towards us, and we accept being adopted into your family. If that's you this morning, Father, if that's anyone here this morning, Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to send your Son. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Father, as we head out into our weeks now, we pray for each of the dads here in our midst that you would strengthen each one to continue to grow and be encouraged to be a father to their children. And Father, may we also acknowledge that we are not just called to care for our own, but to care for others as well. And so, Father, where opportunity avails, where there are people around us, Father, help us also to show your love to them, particularly where there may be the absence of a father. And Father, through this act of love, may you bring healing, may you bring comfort, and may you bring eternal peace to all who place faith and trust in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening today.
If you live locally here in the Ipswich region, we would love to invite you to come and join us in person here at one of our Sunday gatherings at Whitehill. For more information on our services or our ministries, head on over to our website at whitehill.church. If you're interested also in taking next steps in your relationship with Jesus, please also at our website, hit the connect button and let us know where you're at. We would love to catch up with you either over a coffee or on a phone call to chat with you about where you're at. We hope you've enjoyed watching this message and we pray that God would continue to bless you as you seek Him in your daily life. God bless.